This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America. Here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Back. This is Lock and Load, and we are going to spend this hour talking with writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about this. We have talked many times about some people out there that for some reason believe that the only thing that should be taken in the woods to possibly fight or defend against a bear is bear spray.
Correct.
And they're always out there pointing to the efficacy of bear spray at being at 98% of the time, this is going to work. This is, you know.
Yeah. It's not really what was described in the study.
Right.
But the way it is used is exactly as you say. And that's what you see. The people who want to believe, and a lot of this is they want to believe, will tell you that bear spray is effective 98% of the time in stopping bear attacks. But that's not what was actually said in the study that they are talking about. And for example, I quote Tom Smith. Tom Smith is one of the authors of the two studies that are almost always compared to each other.
Right.
Which is efficacy of bear spray in Alaska, and the other one is efficacy of firearms in bear deterrence in Alaska. And I might have one word transposed there, but they're famous studies, and people can find them rather easily.
Right.
And Tom, I'm going to quote Tom Smith here when he's talking about the study. And what he says, and it just fuels this misunderstanding, I think. He says, 98% of people who use bear spray escaped injury, with 2% being knocked over but not killed, as opposed to only about 50% of people using guns. But there are some real problems with that statement, because as a person, as a different person who studied bear attacks and has written a couple books about it, his name is Dave Smith,
right, had,
he said the thing about comparing those two studies is the numbers, the way they're calculated, and the incidents are completely different, so it's comparing the injuries somebody might get from picking up apples to the injuries they might get by picking up live hand grenades. And I think it's a pretty good analogy.
Right.
The 98% comes from the efficacy of bear deterrent spray in Alaska. And this is and was the seminal paper that people refer to claim that bear spray is extremely effective in stopping bear attacks. Now, it's pretty limited in the amount of data. There were 72 incidents in which bear spray was sprayed in this paper. But only 25 incidents, or 35% of them, involved what they call aggressive bears.
Right.
And only 10% of those, only 10 incidents, or 14%, involved charging bears. And there were three injuries, as Smith mentioned, and all three injuries occurred in the 10 incidents where bears charge people. So if you're actually looking at incidents where bears were charging people and talking about how many people were injured, 30% or only 70% escaped injury. But that's not how they calculate things. In order to get the 98% figure, they looked at the total number of people who were involved in these 71 incidents. And the number drops from 72, remember I said there were 72 where bears were sprayed, to 71, and they never explained what the one incident they took out was. That just drops from 72 to 71. It's part of the overall numerology of this paper, which is extremely complicated and difficult to understand. And I've read it many times, and I'm a math guy.
Sure.
It's just hard to figure out what is going on with what, because they change the basis for their numbers and what they use for numbers, and they take percentages of parts of numbers over and over, and it's just, in my opinion, it's very difficult to understand what's going on with the numbers. But what they look at is how many people were involved in these incidents where bears were sprayed, which there were 175 in 71 instances. And then they say, how many people were injured? Three. Well, if you divide three by 175, you come out with less than 2%, about 1.7%.
Right.
But we have no idea how many people of the 175 had bear spray, or how many people of the 175 actually sprayed bear spray. All we know is that in the 71 cases they finally look at, bears were sprayed in all, or bear spray was used, I should say, in all 71 incidences, because they mentioned that there are a number of incidents where the bear spray never reached the bear. And they mentioned that there's a number of incidents where the sound of the bear spray is what was effective in deterring the bear. So it would be really nice if Smith and Herrero would just publish a table of the dates and times and places and people, number of people and number of bears involved in all the incidents that they are using. There's only 71 of them.
Right.
That's not that long of a table, but they never released their data to other researchers or to the public. And we know some of what was going on in these bear incidents, of about 30% of them anyway, were officials harassing bears in campgrounds and such.
Right.
And the only actual incident they talk about, to give any details of, there's two of them, and it involves polar bears. The two incidents that involve polar bears, they describe. And they make a big deal in this paper about how bear spray is effective in deterring polar bears in 100% of the incidents, all two of them. That's not much of a basis to use for a study or a paper. Here, I'm going to quote what they say about those polar bear incidents. They say, in both polar bear incidents, subadult bears approached humans in a pickup truck. There, and the humans were in the pickup truck, not the bears, to observe bears feeding on bowhead whale.
I tell you what, hold right there if you can. I want to tell you my impression of this when we get into this next segment. Now, this article is at Ammoland.com, where Dean has nearly 2,300 other articles waiting on you today. And all the articles that he writes, in some ways, they're just as poignant today as they were the day he wrote them, whether he wrote them last week or last year or in the last decade. And that's the beauty of bringing him on here, of the stuff he writes. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
licensed online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Science and statistics is what's being thrown at us. This is Lock and Load, and I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about this thing about them saying 98% of the time bear spray is effective against bears. And you're bringing up these polar bear incidents, right? And is it the opinion of some of these people that go out there that only take bear spray, that they can go up to bears and mess with them, and they can just bear spray them away, and that'll be okay. Everything's okay. We can just mess with bears like this. Is this?
Well, what I think is happening here is that in these two polar bear incidents, I believe it's researchers in the pickup truck.
Right.
And whether it's one or two researchers, we're never told. But at least one human is in a pickup truck, which is fairly safe against bears.
Right.
And sub-adult polar bears approach the pickup truck. Now, they, in the paper, they say this is a menacing activity, which is how they include it in the study. They claim every incident in that they're looking at in the study is menacing. And they draw a kind of weird, I would say, definition of what is menacing, what's an attack, what's an aggressive bear. It's not all that clear. And a lot of this, they admit, is subjective. So, where you have is you have these researchers in a pickup truck, or maybe they're just park personnel or something, and a bear approaches them, or one of them. I don't know how many are in the pickup truck. They don't tell us that. The bear is sprayed. It's sub-adult bears, and they leave. Twice this happens. We don't know how far apart, and those bears do not come back. But that's really, really thin gruel to base a paper on saying that bear spray works great at stopping polar bears. And so, it's the only incident they give us any kind of detail about what happened. And it's important to know detail in these incidents because what I might describe as an aggressive attack by a bear, somebody else might say, well, you know, if the person had just not done anything, the bear was just defending its property or something, you know. You get all kinds of weird approaches.
Sure.
But if you can read the details of what happened, you can make your own judgment. So when I publish incidents where people defended themselves with handguns against bears, I always include a description of what happened. And this is documented, and usually there is a link people can go to read more for themselves. Or if it's the Freedom of Information Act, we explain how we got it. Usually try and put a little more detail so people understand what happened. But it just is very, how should I put it? It's not good science to just say, well, we picked these cases, and here's the statistics of the cases we picked, and trust us, this is how we graded them. And that's what happens in both of the studies, the bear spray study and in the efficacy of firearms study. So in that study was published in 2008. Well, 10 years later, let's see. In 2018, they published another study that was 2015. Let me go back and be sure. I think it might have been published in 2010.
Right.
No, it's published in 2008. And then they updated the study in 2015, and they included six more years from 2010 to 2015. But in that 6 years, somehow they only came up with four more instances where bear spray was used, which is kind of weird, less than one per year. And when they included that with the 71 that they already had, they now have 75 instances. And the number of people involved goes up from 175 to 197. So they had 22 more people involved in only four more incidents. Now, in much of their study, they claim that if you have more than three people, polar bears or bears in general, just don't attack. And yet the average for those four incidents is 5.5. Unless you know the details of what those incidents are, it's hard to figure out what's going on. But you have those four incidents in to the 71 they already have.
Right.
Only one more person was injured in those four incidents, and it still stays at right at 98% of the people involved, whatever that means. We're not really told what that means or given a definition. We're injured. So that keeps the 98% figure which is the number of people involved in these 75 incidents that they picked where bear spray was sprayed who were injured. We know that the number of aggressive, what they claim as aggressive bears in these incidents is only like, I have a number somewhere about 20-some percent, 30%. Let's see. They had 35%, yeah. 35% of the bear spray incidents involved aggressive bears. Well, then we look at the efficacy of firearms study, which was done in 2012. So it's in between the first efficacy of bear spray, then comes the efficacy of firearms, and then they have a combined study that comes out in 2018. So in the efficacy of firearms study, they had 269 total firearms incidents, which the authors of the study tell us they subjectively hit. For example, they had something like over 200, 250 or more incidents in the defense of firearms, defense of life and property, that's in the Alaska, that they had access to in Alaska. And they said they couldn't get any, didn't get access to any more after 1990. But they had something like 250. Of those 250, they picked 69 as ones they wanted to include in their study. Well, that tells you they rejected a lot of incidents. But we don't know what the details were on the incidents they picked and the ones they didn't. Now, if we look at the 269 total incidents from the study that was published in 2012, we find 15% of those incidents, they said 215 of those involved aggressive bears.
Let me get you to hold right there on the aggressive bears tip as we come into the next break. This article, he's pulling it apart at the seams because I asked him to, because it reminds me of climate change. But you can find it at amaland.com. It reminds me of the climate change argument they make on a regular basis. This percentage of this and this percentage of that. No evidence. They just claim the percentage. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins spanning across decades is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
USA News Update. The plane reportedly carrying Yevgeny Prigozhin, the leader of the mercenary group that marched on Moscow in June, may have been shot down. That's the belief of Congressman James Comer.
We've seen a history and a pattern here with respect to Putin's enemies meeting untimely deaths.
Video online shows the trail of a missile and the plane crashing. Russian state media reports Prigozhin was killed. The number of people confirmed dead in Lahaina remains at 115, but the number of people considered missing is back to about 1,100. That's according to the FBI's official list, which fell to about 850 people earlier in the week. Donald Trump's campaign says the former president has already won tonight's Republican primary debate in Milwaukee, despite his plans to skip the event. Campaign advisor Chris Lacivita, in a statement, said the debate is going to be all about Trump and that the undercard event is more like an audition for candidates to be part of Trump's second term. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. Talking about bear spray efficacy and those kinds of things. And, can I presume you... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what happens is in the efficacy of bear spray, they're pains to tell us that they only include incidents where bear spray was actually sprayed at a bear. Okay? But in the efficacy of firearms, 15% of the incidents involved cases where the firearms were never fired. Well, if the firearms were never fired, it's highly unlikely you could claim that those cases were effective. But it's absolutely insane to take one study where you only look at where the defensive item was used and compare them to another study where 15% of the time the defensive item was not used. So if you add the 15% where the incidents were not fired or take that out of the statistics, then instead of a 75% success rate for long guns and an 84% rate for handguns, you get an 89% success rate for long guns and a 99% rate for handguns if you assume the failures to fire are divided proportionally. But we don't know that because we don't know what the actual incidents were.
Right.
We don't know the details. And for whatever reason, the researchers here refuse to allow that data out to the public or other researchers. Now, one of the things they look at in the firearms efficacy study is they say, well, they wanted to figure out how firearms failed, and one of the ways that they failed was people didn't access them. But the problem is the same for bear spray and handguns. In fact, I would argue, and I think I can make a very good case,
right,
that holsters and handguns are far more well-developed and ergonomic than bear spray and bear spray holsters. We have a century and a half of cartridge handguns where the handguns and holsters have been refined so that you can get at them quickly and reliably and use them in just a second or two very effectively. We don't have that history with bear spray.
Right.
They claim, of course, that you don't really have to aim bear spray, but you do. You have to get it in at least the general direction of the bear, and you have to use it kind of take the wind into account if there's any wind, and if there's very much wind at all, bear spray doesn't work very well at all.
Right.
So the problems of access are about the same. So I argue, and I think it's the right way to go, you should only look at the cases where the deterrent or the defensive tool was actually used. If it wasn't used, it doesn't tell us anything about how effective it is. You should only look when they're used. And that's what I did in looking at how effective handguns are in defense against bears. And I and my colleagues did not refuse. One of the things we decided at the very beginning is we would include every incident where a handgun was fired in defense against bears in our calculations. We would not take any out. We wouldn't. And that's in an attempt to get rid of selection bias. One of the biggest problems in science is when people decide what data they are going to use and what data they are not. And that's called selection bias. And everybody will tend to want to, even if unconsciously, keep a bit of data that shows what they believe should be the case and ignore a bit of data which shows that their theory is not correct. It's a serious problem. Everybody who does scientific study understands it. And the problem with the studies done by Herrero and Smith is that they say they pick their incidents subjectively, but they don't tell us what those incidents are. So I was able to find some supplemental data for the efficacy in firearms study. Now, at the very beginning of this, I quoted Tom Smith as saying that 50% of the people in their firearms study were injured. But when you look at the numbers that they put out in their supplemental data, that's not the case at all. What you find is there were 444 people involved in firearms incidents, and 122 were injured. Yet they also say that 151 incidents occurred where people were injured. Well, how can you have only 122 people injured in 151 incidents? I'm not saying it's absolutely false. The number crunching and the way the study has been done and written up is extremely confusing and difficult to understand because they don't use the same basis for percentages in a whole lot of different cases, and they jump around from one thing to another. They don't provide a really useful table. That's my opinion. And when you're doing that kind of thing, on the unfortunate circumstances, all the complexity tends to confuse things and obfuscate things that you might otherwise appear obvious. And what they do in this study is they put everything into a model. Now, right away, you can see the similarity to climate change, what's called climate change. Most of what we are told are the terrible effects of climate change come from models. But the models don't agree, and all you have is the results of a model which the people who are running the model basically determine by what data they put into the model. And as a professional meteorologist who worked with a lot of people who run these models, I can tell you that there's a lot of judgment involved in what to put in and what to keep out and what assumptions to make. And we see the same thing in this study, this paper about bears. And it's not hard to figure out that the people who wrote the paper, Tom Smith and Herrero, and then there's some other authors. One of them is the editor at the journal where the paper was published, that they have a very strong bias in favor of bears. And I would say that it's not hard to figure out, and they explicitly state this, these people in different things, places, interviews and stuff like that, not necessarily in their papers precisely, although it's pretty clear when you start reading them, that one of the major purposes to push for bear spray is to keep bears from being killed. But we've got lots of bears. We've got plenty of bears. The bear populations of grizzlies and polar bears and black bears are all growing. They all have to be controlled. They all have to be harvested to keep the numbers in acceptable levels. And so if you kill a couple of bears here and there, which are threatening people or are being aggressive around people, it doesn't impact the bear population one whit. It is not a problem for bear populations or keeping healthy populations of bears.
All right. I got too wound up in that. Hang on for me, if you will. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about the about bear spray.
Yes, we have. I wanted to put out the percentage. If you look at the number they say were injured,
right,
out of the number of incidents where firearms were used, you only get 73% of the people were not injured, not 50%. So they're comparing apples and oranges, or as the writer I quoted previously said, apples to hand grenades. It's not that you can't defend that comparison. It's not a valid comparison. And there's a real difficulty in all of these numbers because almost certainly most of the defenses of people against bears are not recorded. The vast majority of incidents which are recorded are when the defense fails. Because if a bear is shot and runs off and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news, generally. That's changed a little bit with grizzly bears lately.
Right.
But if a black bear is shot and runs off or killed and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news. If a bear is sprayed and it runs off and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news. So there's tremendous selection bias in what is recorded and what isn't. So it's really hard to know how effective either any of the incidents are. But we do know, since we've kept track of those we can see, that handguns are in the neighborhood of 97, 98 per second in stopping attacks.
Right.
And there's one statistic that is the most accurate of all we have, and that's when people are killed by bears. Those are almost always recorded. I mean, okay, yeah, if you've got a bunch of Inuit up in the Arctic, 200, 300, 400 years ago, and they get killed by bears, well, we're not going to hear about it. Inuit didn't have records. They pass things down orally. It's not something we can depend on easily. But when Europeans were in the area, when people got killed by bears,
right,
it was generally recorded. It's an unusual event. So we look at we have records where cartridge handguns were used from 1890 to 2022. in defense against bears. We have found 170 incidents. One person was killed up in Svalbard, north of the Arctic Circle, when the people attempted to use a 22 handgun to defend against a polar bear. That's the only person we've been able to find who was killed while using a handgun to defend themselves against bears. In comparison, we found seven incidents where people were killed from 2003 to 2022 where bear spray was used in an attempt to defend against bears. So in the one statistic where we probably have pretty good actual data collection, which is human fatalities, seven times as many people have been killed attempting to using bear spray versus those who have used handguns. Now, that's not all firearms, but handguns was what I started collecting data on, I and others, because the claim was made that they were ineffective against bears. So we started collecting all the data we could. Now, somebody could collect all the data they could find about long guns as well, but it's a lot of work. So we have concentrated on handguns. And incidentally, Tom Smith and Stephen Herrero also found out that handguns tended to be more effective than long guns.
Right.
Now, we don't know if that's when they were fired or not. My suspicion is two things. That handguns are with you where you tend to lay down a long gun or have it slung over your shoulder. And surprisingly, a lot of people carry the long guns around without a round in the chamber. So that's one dynamic that could make handguns more effective. The other is that at extremely close range, when a bear gets up to contact distance, it's easier to hang on to a handgun than it is to hang on to a long gun.
Right.
So I suspect that's why handguns are seen as more effective in these defensive situations. Now, for hunting, I would say a long gun is probably more effective. But we're not talking about hunting. We're talking about defense at close range. If the bear is 200 or 300 yards away from you, it's hard to say it's a defensive situation. You know, when it gets so close that a handgun becomes very effective, it's almost always a defensive situation.
Well, I mean, that 200 yards, though, that's actually just enough time. A bear can run, what, 35 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah.
At a flat-out charge. How long does that take a bear to cover 200 yards? 25 seconds?
A little less, yeah. Probably 15 seconds.
Yeah. So you at least have time to pull the gun out and start making a few decisions.
You do. But that's the other thing we find is most defensive situations are not flat-out charges. When you look at their bear spray numbers, only 10 out of their 71 incidents are charges. Only 14, excuse me. 14, 10, 10, I think.
Right.
10 of the incidents are of the 71. So that's, you know, 1/7. And when I look at the firearms incidents, again, the number of flat-out charges is a relatively small percentage of the total. Those are dire circumstances in which you have to act very quickly. But even so, firearms can be very effective. It only takes I would say if you have 2 seconds warning, you have enough to get a firearm into play.
Right.
That is, if it's not slung over your shoulder with an empty chamber and the safety on.
Right.
But if you have it in a holster and it's a handgun, they're designed to get at quickly and put in play quickly, and you have a little bit more time because you don't have the barrel sticking way out in front of you that if a bear hits it, it knocks it out of your hands and away. So we see many instances where flat-out charges are stopped by people with handguns, And they don't necessarily have to kill the bear dead right there. There's quite a few where the bear is shot and decides it doesn't want to continue the fight and runs off.
Right.
So that's one of the things I've noticed about Tom Smith, is he talks as if the only time you have to defend yourself against a bear is when it's a flat-out charge from 5 feet away. But that is an extremely rare event.
Right.
Those are the circumstances where defensive systems fail because you have very little time to react.
Right.
But that's not the most common case where you have to defend yourself. And the only, not the only, but that case tends to be much more common with grizzly bears than it does with either polar bears or black bears. Both polar bears and black bears, their attacks tend to be predatory attacks. And because they, neither black bears or polar bears, make a habit of eating people on a regular basis, because they're just, for black bears, if they start nosing around people too much, they usually end up getting killed. And for polar bears, they just don't see very many people. And the same goes for black bears in true wilderness areas. And sometimes that's a more common place for black bears to attack people than other circumstances, because they just don't know what a person is.
Right.
And they think it may be prey. It might be good to eat.
Right.
Both polar bears and black bears will give you some time.
We are running out of time. This was fascinating. I was getting lost in the story once again, as I do. Whenever Dean starts talking about bears, I sort of lose track of time. Hopefully we reconvene before the end of the week. If not, maybe we'll pick it up and do something for Gun Owners News Hour, maybe? You think that might be something we do?
Maybe.
I might do that, sure. All right, well, in any event, find Dean's work. Find this article. This article was published, what day was this article published? On the 22nd of August?
Yeah, today.
At ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Very good.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.